I am here to tell you Royce Lewis is the MVP of the Twins so far this season. Feel free to prove me wrong. Gentlemen, as we approach we're approaching the halfway point. We're not quite there yet. But as we approach the halfway point, I really truly think that this is one of those examples where statistics are one thing and eye test is another. And yes, Royce Lewis has had a smaller sample size. And yes, Ryan Jeffers has better stats and more games. But if we're giving away, and I want to talk a little bit about midseason, where we're at with the Twins. And we talked about this before we got in the air today. The Twins MVP, the one we like the most substantial player, and then the most disappointing player. So I think Royce Lewis is the MVP so far. You can try to talk me out of this if you'd like. Certainly we'll take your calls as well on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line 651-461-9226. Royce Lewis's domination is undeniable. He's batting three, again, small sample size, 17 games, but still, he's batting 371. I mean, every time the guy comes up to the plate now, you think he's going to do something amazing, Pete. He's just, to me, he's the best one on the roster.
You know, so here would be my pushback. I know we've got a couple categories we're going to hit, right? Yeah. MVP and most impressive and disciplined. Yep. For MVP, I've got to go with Correa. And my rationale is this. Oh, he's played 59 games this year. I mean, that's Royce Lewis has only played 87 in his entire career. But I love Royce Lewis. I think the world of him. I know that his numbers are incredible. When he walks up to the plate, you almost expect a home run. I mean, it's really become something special, but I think you've got to get the consistency. I mean, if you're going to be the MVP, you've got to have the consistency that we've seen from Correa. I mean, he's batting great. He's over 300. He's got 36 RBIs. He's doing everything that he can do as a player to put ourselves into a position to maybe be somewhere towards that playoff hunt, right? I mean, so I think that's why I give it to Correa right now, but I've got a different spot for Royce Lewis.
Yeah, Pete, you're absolutely right. It's Correa. I think it's kind of a blowout for Correa, to be honest with you.
Really?
Royce Lewis is the most fun player on this team, without a doubt, and he very well, at the end of the season, could be the MVP, but who kept the train on the tracks? Who has just been consistent day in, day out? And very good, mind you, with that consistency, offensively, defensively, everything you look at, has played a ton of games after coming back from an injury. It's Carlos Correa, and it's not particularly close. Love Royce Lewis. He could end up being that guy by the end of the season, but he's not right now. And of course, the amount of games played is going to factor in. We've only gotten through half a season, and he's only played a handful of games.
You realize he's played roughly a third of the games is Carlos Correa and has two more home runs than him this season.
Absolutely, and I also realize that Carlos Correa has been making absolute web gems at shortstop for those two-thirds that Royce Lewis has not played.
So I had Carlos Correa as my most impressive player. I think when I think of MVP, I think of the one guy you can't deal without in the lineup. For me, that's Royce Lewis, and I think, again, all of your stuff, I agree with it. I just think when you look at what he's done over the course of just a very small sample size. Now, Correa has been outstanding. I mean, in terms of what I expected versus what we got, I knew he would be good. I didn't think it was going to be, like, this good.
Right.
He's batting over 300, slugging almost 500. In his last 15 games, he's hitting .444, and this guy has been on an absolute tear. To me, in terms of impressive players versus when I look at what we thought we were going to get and what we're actually getting, Carlos Correa is, to me, the most impressive player on the team, but not the one guy that they couldn't do without.
That's where I flip. And I'm thinking Charlie's probably with me on this one.
I'm right with you, Pete. You got it.
I flipped there because MVP, I just have to have that consistency. You got to be there day in and day out, in my opinion. But Royce Lewis, let's be honest. You want to talk about impressive. How about a guy who's only played in 17 games? He's got 10 home runs. He's got all these different numbers. He's batting off the charts. I mean, in the 87 games he's played, he's got 27 home runs. When you put that up against other players, this guy is somewhere not just in the Twins. I mean, I'm talking about all of Major League Baseball. If we were able to say, okay, that number of games. And I think that one of the most important things too, and I just got a nice text from one of my buddies who listens every single week, who played football with me with the Gophers. And he said, hey, name me another first round pick that, that you remember from the Twins that, that you can even recall. Hey, that
That's
guy really worked
point.
Out. So
that's a great point.
Yeah. I'll give credit to my man, Anthony Burke. He's out there. He and I played ball together at the University of Minnesota. He listens every week. He's a wonderful guy and one of my best friends, and I love him to death. But I'll tell you, it is amazing what Royce Lewis is doing. I'll tell you, every time you see the guy step up to the plate, you go, you know what? There's a really good chance that this guy could get a home run. I mean, it's absolutely amazing how many times he's even swung a bat. We're talking about 87 games, guys. And this guy just hits home runs. He hits the ball. He has that ability. It's really something special. I mean, I used to talk about Ohtani every single week with you guys about, you know, just how incredible he was. And also same thing, you know, when you go to the basketball side of things, when we talk about Mr. Electricity and we talk about Anthony Edwards, this guy's the Anthony Edwards of our baseball team of the Minnesota Twins. When he steps up, you got to watch what he's doing.
Yeah, I'll make a note. There are a couple other first-round picks with the Twins. Kirilloff was a first-round pick for the Twins. He's injured. He's been up and down, but he's still got that very pretty swing and has that potential. And Brooks Lee is going to be up in a matter of, you know, hopefully weeks, you would think, on the Major League squad coming up from the St. Paul Saints. Now, I will say there are two all-stars on this Minnesota Twins team. We're at the halfway point in the season. All-star break is coming up here in not that long, right? A couple weeks,
yeah,
I think?
About a week or two.
Yeah, a week or two. Carlos Correa should be an all-star. He is deserving of that accolade. The other is not Royce Lewis, though. The other is Willie Castro. Willie Castro
over Ryan Jeffers?
Oh, well over Ryan Jeffers. Yep, it is Willie Castro who deserves all-star recognition. He has been the unsung hero of this team. You look at wins above replacement. I know we're getting in the statistics. Two guys on the Twins have wins above replacement of 2.5 or more. That's Willie Castro. That's Carlos Correa. Nobody else is even close. You got Ryan Jeffers down at a 1.7. He's been great this season. But Willie Castro being able to fill in at every single position, essentially, on the field defensively, play adequately defensively, and have the offensive season that he's been putting together has been the unsung hero of this team and has performed exactly how you would want him to perform at every
The only level. Pushback I'd have, Charlie, is I and you guys know this, is the one thing I'm always looking at is, you know, what are you doing when you get up to the plate? He's done well. He's got 6 home runs, but he's got 71 strikeouts. So when you look at him and you look at the rest of the team, this guy is striking out far too frequently, I think. I mean, that can hurt you as much as some of the hits can help you. And that's the only thing that I would push back with Castro.
He's blowing away the team in hits, that's for sure. I mean, 72 this season. I still think Ryan Jeffers should be an all-star. I know that it's not a sexy pick outside of Minnesota, but the numbers he's put up this year in 217 at-bats to hit 12 home runs, and, you know, his average isn't spectacular, but he's playing the game well. He's got 51 hits this year. By far, statistically, which is so interesting because statistically it's far and away like, okay, Ryan Jeffers is your all-star. But if you live here and it's the eye test, you're like, yeah, Ryan Jeffers is not the all-star of this team.
Well, he's been in a slump. I mean, he's been struggling these last couple of weeks. He was really hot for a while, and then, you know, he got overtaken by the Correa and Lewis absolute scorcher streak that they both have been on, and he's been a bit of an afterthought. He's been slumping a little bit. So it's just harder to see. It's definitely the easiest position to make the all-star team. Of course, catcher, there just aren't that many good catchers in the league. So, yeah, he still could be an all-star. But the two all-star level players this year, the two guys that have put up those numbers that have played out of their minds for the Twins this year, in my mind, are Castro and Correa.
How about Santana, though, guys? I mean, you start looking at the numbers like we all do because that's what baseball's about, and he's got far fewer strikeouts. I mean, what my biggest gripe is, you know, if you're just going for the fences or whatever and you're striking out a lot, you better have the other side of the results. And you look at Santana, you know, he's got 12 home runs. He's only got 42 strikeouts. So he is adding to the Twins in a much different way. I view it that way anyway. And I think I'd put him up there. I know he's a first baseman. I know there's a lot of competition, all the rest of it. But he's a player. I mean, he's had a great start to the year.
Real quick, before we run out of time in this segment, I want to know your most disappointing Twin so far this season, guys.
I'm going to say Pablo Lopez. I love the guy. We've had him on the show. He's wonderful. But, man, that ERA and the number of home runs he's given up, you know, it's just – it's if you're saying disappointing, you're not. That's it. I would have to say he's been disappointing.
Charlie?
Yeah, I mean, Lopez is the obvious answer. If we want to go a little outside of that, you'll go to the bullpen and Caleb Thielbar, who has really, really struggled this year. So, I mean, if I'm not saying Pablo Lopez, it's Thielbar, but I think I'm saying Pablo Lopez.
So no lack of love for Alex Kirilloff, because that's who it is for me, and I know he's been hurt, but...
That's why he's not for me.
That whole situation's just, it's getting real messy in a hurry, and I don't like it. I mean, for a guy like Rocco Baldelli, who understands the idea of keeping everything close to the vest, keeping the locker room closed, to come out and talk about it, you know, that he wasn't doing a great job of communicating with the team. This is really messy, and it makes me wonder even more what Alex Kirilloff's future is here. Incredibly disappointing season for him. I think we were all hoping, once again, as we always do, that we were hoping to see a full, healthy season from him and see where that goes, because when he's good, he's great, and when he's bad, he's awful.
Yeah.
And it's really just been bad, awful. So I don't disagree with you on Pablo Lopez, because I think, you know, he was really, when you look at that staff, he's kind of your, I guess he's your number two, but you could also argue he's your number one pitcher.
Yeah. Oh, he's absolutely your number one. He should be your number one pitcher. Yeah.
And he's not. And so, I mean, that's a good one as well. I can't go against that.
I mean, the Kirilloff thing with Rocco talking about it, if I'm not mistaken, Royce Lewis had the exact same situation happen last year where he was kind of hiding some of those injuries, and Rocco said publicly, hey, you need to do a better job. I think that's just kind of the way Rocco goes with some of these young guys. So I'm not overly concerned about that. By the way, one guy we didn't mention on the positive note that really deserves it, Simeon Woods-Richardson, for holding down that number five spot out of nowhere and really putting together a great first half of his rookie season.
Good call. Chris Atterbury will join us at 11:35 today to chat. 11:35, I believe, right? To chat Twins with us. We'll probably ask him about his MVP and biggest surprise, biggest disappointment of the season as well. But for now, we're going to switch some gears. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the NBA draft coming up, the Timberwolves, who they might pick, and why I, in all of my life, do not want Bronny James ending up in Minnesota.
I'll be right back.
The NBA draft is coming up this week, Wednesday, June 26th, June 27th. Your Minnesota Timberwolves picked towards the back of both rounds. There was a quote this week from Rich Paul, who is the agent for LeBron James and Bronny James. They came out this week, some interest that he actually went on the record and said what teams are interested in Bronny James, and he said Minnesota is one of them. I question this greatly because I don't necessarily believe everything he says. Rich Paul said, quote, I know most guys in my position don't really go on record and speak about things, said Paul. Everybody plays a different game. I play my cards face down in most cases. But in some instances, like this situation, I don't mind playing the cards face up. I'm very matter of fact. In a lot of situations, it's not much gray. It's pretty black and white. And this stuff, it's just harmless. It's black and white, so I don't mind talking about it. First of all, that's not true. These guys never play their cards face down. Agents are notorious for using media to help their cause. This is not anything that's news. The idea that this situation is playing his cards face up and is harmless in black and white is probably one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. What he's trying to do is get LeBron James to his next team. There is very few teams, and looking at all the mock drafts, there might be one, I think there was one to two teams that actually would be somewhere where Bronny James would go. But let's be honest here, and I don't believe Rich Paul said this, but I don't believe him. If this kid's last name wasn't James, we would not be talking about him. We would not be talking about him at all. And even with his last name being James, I don't think he's going to be drafted at all. I think he'll be a free agent somewhere wherever LeBron wants to go.
Why would we? Exactly right, Dave. That is the only intriguing part about Bronny James. And it's not to rip him. It's just facts. And if they want to put out this big, long storyline about getting Bronny James, let's think about this for a second, guys. He plays for USC in basketball, right? Why did he go there? And why did he need that NIL money that he got? He got an incredible, one of the highest there is in all of sports or whatever. So I look at this and I look at a Pac-12 team that was ninth. They had more losses than wins. And when you look at what he did, even from the free throw line, none of his numbers add up to make any sense whatsoever to be in the first round or be drafted at all. I mean, he averaged 5 points a game for USC. Are you kidding me? So yeah. This is a recruitment of LeBron, but with LeBron comes a lot of other things that I don't think the Timberwolves believe in. He's one of the leaders in load management. He's constantly been doing that. I grant you he's almost 40 years old or whatever mm-hmm. age he is, but do we really want somebody like that? I mean, I know LeBron's great. I get it, but he's also 39, 40 years old, whatever. And what does he offer our team other than the possibility that if things aren't going well, that things could really start to tumble? That's the way I view it. I would stay away from this completely.
I'm with you. I want no part of this. I love the locker room the way it currently is. And I think if you bring in a LeBron James and say, hey, you're not the biggest personality here, Anthony Edwards is, or Carl Anthony Towns. This is Anthony Edwards' team. And if you bring in a LeBron James, it ceases to become his team anymore. And that's what, to me, I think that's the biggest thing, the biggest reason why I don't want LeBron James here. This is Anthony Edwards' team. LeBron James is not going to come into a locker room and go, yeah, okay, it's your team. That's just not going to happen. You know that. And the chemistry this team had this year, it would be so dumb to try to break that chemistry up with a guy who, yes, he is one of the greatest players of all time. But to your point, Pete, he's 39, he's 40 years old this year. He is not going to be carrying your team. He is not the missing link for the Timberwolves to win a championship. It's not LeBron James.
Listen, if the opportunity arises to have LeBron James on your team, I'm taking LeBron James.
Now at 40 years old?
Yes. For two years. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, here's
if the opportunity arises for LeBron James to be on your favorite basketball team, you take that opportunity. Now,
why?
You don't necessarily have to go way out of your way to do it. I don't think you need to draft Bronny James and all of these different things. But if LeBron James wants to be on your team and you have the ability to do that and it makes, it works out for the team, you do that every single time.
I think it's a cancer in the locker room. I really do. It's only coming as a package because he wants to play with his son. It's the only way he leaves the Lakers is to come to the Minnesota Timberwolves with Bronny. So you're getting that twofer. And how does that work out with Carl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards and Rudy Gobert and Mike Conley and all the different players that we've got? I don't think our lack of getting past Dallas was we needed LeBron James.
Exactly.
We just didn't shoot well. Our two big men, our big scorers, didn't really come through in that particular series to be able to get us to the next level to play against Boston. So, it's I don't see that as a great move. We already sell out. We already have great fan support. We've got all that. I think are there pieces we could use? Sure. Maybe you get Malik Beasley back with the Timberwolves because he had a nice run here. He and Anthony Edwards get along. They do pretty well. But outside of that, I just don't see how that works for our team very well.
If LeBron James is on the team against Dallas, the Minnesota Timberwolves win that series.
Really?
Yes. Of course. Adding one of the greatest players of all time who is still putting up incredible numbers.
Still puts up good numbers.
Game out. Yes, they win that series.
You're going to have to pay him to come here?
Yeah, there are other areas here that you can argue. But if he is on that team, they beat Dallas. That's what happens.
I don't know, man.
I don't know if I agree.
He's taken the ball from Anthony Edwards. He's taken the ball from Rudy Gobert.
Which wouldn't have been bad in the Dallas series, though. Like you said, they weren't shooting well. You have another guy that can fill up the bucket when your big guys aren't shooting well, and it's LeBron James. Yeah.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I think that there's enough bad things that come with the good things that it's not worth it. And if there is that divide and the locker room's gotten it, and we've seen that, guys. We've seen that at Vikings.
When they brought in Jimmy Butler.
Right. Yeah.
Look at what come on, let's learn something here. Look at what happened when Jimmy Butler got here.
If I'm not mistaken, they made the playoffs for the first time in a decade. But they made the playoffs for the first time in a decade when they weren't expected to before Jimmy Butler.
Let's also not assume that LeBron would be healthy. Do you know how many games he played last year?
Yeah.
71.
Sure,
you know how many he played the year before that? 55.
Yeah.
Do you know how many he played the year before that? 56.
71's not bad.
It's why you can't ever compare him to Michael Jordan as a GOAT because it's not even close. It's not in the same ballpark, in my opinion.
Well, back to the draft, guys. Is there anybody in this draft that you're actually interested in the Wolves getting? They got those two picks, like you said, Dave, with, late in the first and then early in the second, actually. They've got Memphis's pick in the second round. But any players stand out for you, you've seen?
I saw one mock draft that had the possibility of Cam Christie, which I thought would be interesting. I think they don't need to pull the trigger on him in the first round. My guess is he could be there in the second. We don't have a lot of Minnesota guys who stay home and play here, so that'd be kind of neat.
Yeah,
that would be cool. I like Terrence Shannon Jr., the kid from Illinois. I know he's got a little bit of a checkered past that got he's out of that, but the guy can shoot. I mean, he's just one of these guys who has an ability to shoot just at an incredible level. So I'd love to see him.
Yeah, I think those are the two guys mocked most frequently to the Wolves.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be there. Cam Christie is going to be there at 37, Dave. I don't think they're going to have that opportunity. He's been rising up draft boards to the end of that first round to before the Wolves pick in the second round. So I think if they want him, they're probably going to have to go get him early on. And Terrence Shannon, he was found not guilty in a trial, I think just a week ago or so. So he's been rising up draft boards, too, after that.
Well, it should be interesting this week for sure. Who do you think the Timberwolves should take? Let us know. 651-461-9226. It's the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. We'll step aside, do the fast break coming up next. You'll listen to 830-CCO.
All right, guys, we'll start it off today with Dave.
Yeah.
We just hit on that NBA draft, but turns out there's two major drafts in the same week this week. The NHL draft is this Friday and Saturday. It's going to be at the Sphere in Las Vegas. Can't wait to see what the visuals are like that. I don't know how the NHL got that and the NBA didn't. It feels like that would be reversed. I feel like the NBA's cap is a little bit bigger, all that kind of stuff. But so be it. The NHL is going to be in the Sphere Friday and Saturday.
It's because the NHL has a team there.
Yeah, they got
a team. That's true. Still, I could see the NBA being like, who cares?
Absolutely.
Sphere, you know? Everybody wants the Sphere these days. So my question's pretty easy for you, Dave. With the 13th overall pick, what should the Wild be looking for? Is it going to be defense, goaltending? Do we want another center up the middle? Or are they just going to look for the best player to replenish their farm system?
I mean, it'll be the best player. My guess is it's going to be at the forward position because that's where, that's just kind of where you take. Although there's some pretty good defensemen. This draft is kind of weird. You kind of have your top guy, which is Macklin Celebrini, and I think everyone knows he's going to go to San Jose. And it kind of just trails off after that. So I still think that they go with a forward simply because both the team currently in the NHL and the AHL have enough defensemen coming up. So I think that's where you go, because there's also, you look at what they're going to have to do this year, although the salary cap does go up a little bit. It's just going to be difficult to sign everybody where they are and still make an impact. So my guess is, as usual, they'll go forward, probably a center. And who that is, that is anyone's guess. But there's a lot of guys. Cole Iserman, I don't know how you pronounce
Iserman,
his name.
You got it.
Is an interesting name. He's a left wing, and he's the development from the development team. I believe he's the guy that was going to go U of M and committed away. And now there's lots of mock drafts that are having him come back here to the Wild. So that should be interesting.
Yeah, I've seen some rumors over the weekend, too, that Winnipeg's top prospect, Rucker McGroarty, might be in trade talks with some teams because he's not happy with how Winnipeg is dealing with him. Should the Wild be interested in that?
The most interesting thing this offseason to me, and I was reading about this, I think it was Mike Russo at it in The Athletic the other day, is there seems to be some steam here, and it makes sense, about what's going to happen with Philip Gustavson. Because with Fleury coming back one more year, And it seems like the time is now for Jesper Wallstedt. You have a huge chip piece to be able to bring something back of real substance if you're willing to trade Philip Gustavsson, if you believe the long-term plan is Jesper Wallstedt. So that, to me, is that's even more interesting than who they're going to draft this week, is what's going to happen to Philip Gustavsson.
Do you think he gets traded? What would you put?
I don't know. I think you could. I think there's lots of teams that want a number one goaltender. Or even a strong number two. And if this team is, if Jesper Wallstedt truly is better in the long run than Philip Gustavsson, and that's what the Wild believe, then it makes sense. You got one more year of Fleury. He can mentor this young kid who showed really some flashes of great play last year, I think, at the NHL level. So well, I think it's a really strong possibility. It's really intriguing for me.
May turn into a more interesting offseason than many expected then for the Minnesota Wild as we get into the draft on Friday, Saturday. Pete, I was scrolling around the internet the other day, and I saw a picture I was sure had to be AI or Photoshopped. Turns out it was not. It was two men, one of them at least 2.5 feet taller than the other man, just standing absolutely giant. And I looked it up. It's a picture of the new tallest basketball player in the NCAA, Olivier Roux.
I thought it was
Roux.
A picture of Pete and I.
Not exactly. Olivier Roux, the French-Canadian who just joined the Florida Gators basketball team, he's listed at 7'9". Yeah. On the official roster for the Florida Gators. It got me thinking of some other physical freaks, either tall, crazy athletic, just something going on where they are a physical marvel. And so my question for you, Pete, who is the greatest physical marvel in Minnesota sports history?
Minnesota sports history?
I'm not going to give you Bo Jackson. Come on.
Yeah, well, that makes it a little bit tougher. You know, when you just look at physical specimens that have we've come across over the years, I got to tell you, we've had some for sure in Minnesota. I'm struggling to come through with a really great name for you, but I think that there are some basketball players. I'll tell you go ahead.
I was going to say, we can give you a second if Dave's got one.
I can go. I'm ready if you want to think for a second, Pete.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll say Adrian Peterson. and that's an easy one, but his sheer size and strength, power, and speed, you know, was just such at that time when he came in the league in 2007. It was incredible. I mean, you didn't see running backs that large and have that.
No.
He could go up the middle and gain 5 yards, and he could also beat you on the outside edge. And at that time, I don't know that there were other running backs in the league that could do both of those things. The only thing he couldn't do was pass block and hold on to the football. Minor details, but he was my freak of nature. You know the guy, as you were talking about this, that I think of immediately, and he's not in the NFL. Do you remember Sean Oakman from Baylor?
Oh, yeah, I do.
He was massive, and I was just looking really quick at an article about him. He was 6'9", 280, and he didn't make it in the NFL.
Yeah, he had the athletic traits, but none of the mental and the kind of the playing. Pete, did that give you time to come up with anybody?
It did, and it's a guy that I always admired from the time we moved from California to Minnesota and we had the Purple People Eaters, Carl Eller. I used to look at that guy and just think with the size, the speed, and what he was one of the most intimidating-looking guys on the planet Earth. And to this day, I literally just kind of quietly walk up and say hello to Carl. He's one of the nicest guys in the world after football. But, man, on the football field with the Golden Gophers and everything else, Carl Eller was something special.
I'll give you my answer. The one season the Minnesota Twins had Bartolo Colon. The fact that guy could still pitch the way he pitched when he
big
looked
sexy.
Like that. Oh, yeah. Incredible.
He loved
stuff
his fries.
From Bartolo Colon. Move on here. Back to you, Dave. Barring major injury and other outstanding factors, it seems like the Vikings roster is probably pretty set for the 2024 season at this point. Now that we see what we've got, we've heard some reports from OTAs, rookie camp, all those events that have been going on at the facility. Which Vikings rookie, Dave, do you think will have the biggest impact this season? I'll refresh your memory on the names. You got J.J. McCarthy, Dallas Turner, Kyrie Jackson, Walter Rouse, Will Reichard, the kicker, Michael Juergen, and Levi Drake Rodriguez.
I think it's Dallas Turner. I hope above hope that we don't even see J.J. McCarthy this year. I know that there's lots of people thinking that it's possible, but I just defensively, where he gets to fit in and what he can do. He's 6'3", 250. I mean, the guy's just a player, and he's quick off the ball. I think he has the most potential right away to see time and make an impact more than anybody else. And in this defense, with the players that are there, with Brian Flores there, the amount of learning that this kid's going to do and how much better. His ceiling is so high. I think he is by far the best rookie this year.
I would say this. I think he is the best rookie. His talent is unbelievable. I admired watching him at Alabama. I thought the guy was absolutely incredible. But I'm going to go with one that I think is really close and might even be a bigger factor could be Kyrie Jackson. I just love his height. I like, we need a corner. We draft corners every single year, right? Somewhere very high in the draft usually, but we just haven't had anybody that is overly impressive. I think he's going to be overly mm-hmm. impressive. He's coming from the Pac-12. They like to throw the ball out there, and this guy's got height. He's got that length that he can actually stretch out there. And against all these big receivers that are in the NFL these days, I think he's got the opportunity at 6'4" to be really pretty impressive for the Vikings.
Oh, come on, guys. I thought I was giving you an easy one here. I even said the kicker. Well, right. I mean,
you did say the kicker.
What's the most important position outside of the quarterback on an NFL team? Who's going to score the most points? It's going to be Will Reichert. It's going to be the kicker. And if he succeeds, this team will be a lot better.
Inside.
Than if he
doesn't. He's
inside. I have a question for you, Pete. In terms of what's the harder position as a rookie to master, defensive back or linebacker or D-end?
Well, you know, the reality is that the secondary has far less they have to think about. Quite frankly, okay. I mean, you know, so it, I mean, either they are dropping back, they're sitting in the flat, or they're man to man. That's it, right? I mean, that's what a cornerback does. So I would say, as far as difficult, you know, Dallas Turner's got to learn a lot, but he's just such a special athlete that I think he could be really, really unbelievable. Now, Kyrie Jackson, I'm not kidding with you guys. At 6'4", you don't see guys that can run at his speed with that kind of size very often in the NFL. I think we stole him by getting him in the fourth round. I think it's going to be very special. I think at the end of the season, we're probably going to be going, wow, that kid should have been a first rounder.
Absolutely. There's a couple of undrafted free agents, too, that the Vikings picked up that are interesting. I think it was Murphy, was it, out of UCLA? It was one of the UCLA defensive ends. I'm forgetting the name off the top of my head. But, I mean, last season we saw who probably the most impressive rookie was, and that was undrafted free agent Ivan Pace. So could be none of the guys that I listed even. Pete, we're going to finish off with you. Gopher basketball players have reported to camp and started practice. A lot of new faces in Dinkytown as the NIL era took a hit on the 2023 Gopher squad. New key players include forward Frank Mitchell and guards Femi Odukale, Lucie Patterson, and Isaac Asima, the incoming freshman out of Cherry, Minnesota.
Nice job.
Thank you very much.
That is not easy.
No, it wasn't. Pete,
Isaac Asimov, the writer? Sorry.
Not exactly. Pete, I want to know if this team will have more success than last year's team, which I will remind you made the NIT and did win their first game of that tournament. Are they going to be more or less successful than last year's team?
You know, it is always so difficult because in basketball, there is that mesh that you've got to get, right? I mean, we certainly improved a lot. That was great. I was really happy for the coach because I think the world of the coach, but he's got to win more games. And last year he did. And so that was a nice major step. Can they do it again? You know, I think Big Ten basketball is going to be pretty brutal once again. The competitiveness of our league is always impressive to me. So do we sit somewhere about where we are? Probably. I would say we're probably more like a 500 team. I don't see us going much higher than that in the Big Ten.
I think it's difficult. I think they lost some really good players. I think, but all the teams do, and they have to regroup. I have faith in Ben Johnson. He's restored it in me after what he did last year. I don't know if I guess it's a cop out, but I don't know if I can say it yet. I don't know. I mean, there's just too many X factors here in what else is going on in the Big Ten to say what this team's going to do.
Yeah, Dave, you're absolutely right. That is a cop out, but that's all I got for you.
I was like, wait a second. Charlie's telling me I'm right.
Absolutely correct. You absolutely copped out on that. Yeah, they got Parker Fox back. They've got some players back. They've got Mike Mitchell. They got Dawson Garcia, who's going to be the most important player on this team regardless. So there are pieces there. It'll just I understand why you copped out, but it's still cowardly.
All right, coming up next, we'll talk about pickleball.
All right, guys, we'll start it off today with Dave.
Yeah.
We just hit on that NBA draft, but it turns out there's two major drafts in the same week this week. The NHL draft is this Friday and Saturday. It's going to be at the Sphere in Las Vegas. Can't wait to see what the visuals are like that. I don't know how the NHL got that and the NBA didn't. It feels like that would be reversed. I feel like the NBA's cap is a little bit bigger, all that kind of stuff, but so be it. The NHL is going to be in the Sphere Friday and Saturday.
It's because the NHL has a team there.
Yeah, they got
a team. That's true.
Yeah.
Still, I could see the NBA being like, who cares?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, Everybody wants the sphere these days. So my question's pretty easy for you, Dave. With the 13th overall pick, what should the Wild be looking for? Is it going to be defense, goaltending? Do we want another center up the middle, or are they just going to look for the best player to replenish their farm system?
I mean, it'll be the best player. My guess is it's going to be at the forward position because that's where, that's just kind of where you take. Although there's some pretty good defensemen. This draft is kind of weird. You kind of have your top guy, which is Macklin Celebrini, and I think everyone knows he's going to go to San Jose. And it kind of just trails off after that. So I still think that they go with a forward simply because both the team currently in the NHL and the AHL have enough defensemen coming up. So I think that's where you go, because there's also, you look at what they're going to have to do this year, although the salary cap does go up a little bit. It's just going to be difficult to sign everybody where they are and still make an impact. So my guess is, as usual, they'll go forward, probably a center. And who that is, that is anyone's guess. But there's a lot of guys. Cole Iserman, I don't know how you pronounce his name.
Iserman, you got it.
Is an interesting name. He's a left wing, and he's the development from the development team. I believe he's the guy that was going to go U of M and committed away. And yep. Now there's lots of mock drafts that are having him come back here to the Wild. So that should be interesting.
Yeah, I've seen some rumors over the weekend, too, that Winnipeg's top prospect, Rutger McGroarty, might be in trade talks with some teams because he's not happy with how Winnipeg is dealing with him. Should the Wild be interested in that?
The most interesting thing this offseason to me, and I was reading about this, I think it was Mike Russo at it in The Athletic the other day, is there seems to be some steam here, and it makes sense, about what's going to happen with Philip Gustavson. Because with Fleury coming back one more year, and it seems like the time is now for Jesper Wallstedt, you have a huge chip piece to be able to bring something back of real substance if you're willing to trade Philip Gustavson, if you believe the long-term plan is Jesper Wallstedt. So that, to me, is that's even more interesting than who they're going to draft this week, is what's going to happen to Philip Gustavson.
Do you think he gets traded? What would you put?
I don't know. I think you could. I think there's lots of teams that want a number one goaltender. Or even a strong number two. And if this team is, if Jesper Wallstedt truly is better in the long run than Philip Gustavson, and that's what the Wild believe, then it makes sense. You got one more year of Fleury. He can mentor this young kid who showed really some flashes of great play last year, I think, at the NHL level. So well, I think it's a really strong possibility. It's really intriguing for me.
May turn into a more interesting offseason than many expected then for the Minnesota Wild as we get into the draft on Friday, Saturday. Pete, I was scrolling around the internet the other day, and I saw a picture I was sure had to be AI or Photoshopped. Turns out it was not. It was two men, one of them at least 2.5 feet taller than the other man, just standing absolutely giant. And I looked it up. It's a picture of the new tallest basketball player in the NCAA, Olivier Roux.
I thought it was a picture of Pete and I.
Not exactly.
No, I'm not.
Olivier Roux, the French-Canadian who just joined the Florida Gators basketball team, he's listed at 7'9". On the official roster for the Florida Gators. It got me thinking of some other physical freaks, either tall, crazy athletic, just something going on where they are a physical marvel. And so my question for you, Pete, who is the greatest physical marvel in Minnesota sports history?
Minnesota sports history?
I'm not going to give you Bo Jackson. Come on.
Yeah, well, that makes it a little bit tougher. When you just look at physical specimens that we've come across over the years, I got to tell you, we've had some for sure in Minnesota. I'm struggling to come through with a really great name for you, but I think that there are some basketball players. I'll tell you go ahead.
I was going to say, we can give you a second if Dave's got one.
I can go. I'm ready if you want to think for a second, Pete.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll say Adrian Peterson. and that's an easy one, but his sheer size and strength, power, and speed, was just such at that time when he came in the league in 2007. It was incredible. I mean, you didn't see running backs that large and have that. He could go up the middle and gain 5 yards, and he could also beat you on the outside edge. And at that time, I don't know that there were other running backs in the league that could do both of those things. The only thing he couldn't do was pass block and hold on to the football. Minor details, but he was my freak of nature. You know the guy, as you were talking about this, that I think of immediately, and he's not in the NFL. Do you remember Sean Oakman from Baylor?
Oh, yeah, I do.
He was massive. And I was just looking really quick at an article about him. He was 6'9", 280, and he didn't make it in the NFL.
Yeah. He had the athletic traits, but none of the mental and the kind of the playing. Pete, did that give you time to come up with anybody?
It did, and it's a guy that I always admired from the time we moved from California to Minnesota and we had the Purple People Eaters, Carl Eller. I used to look at that guy and just think with the size, the speed, and what he was one of the most intimidating-looking guys on the planet Earth. And to this day, I literally just kind of quietly walk up and say hello to Carl. He's one of the nicest guys in the world after football. But, man, on the football field with the Golden Gophers and everything else, Carl Eller was something special.
I'll give you my answer. The one season the Minnesota Twins had Bartolo Colon. The fact that that guy could still pitch the way he pitched when he
big
looked
sexy.
Like that. Oh,
yeah.
Incredible.
He loved
stuff
his fries.
From Bartolo Colon. Move on here. Back to you, Dave. Barring major injury and other outstanding factors, it seems like the Vikings roster is probably pretty set for the 2024 season at this point. Now that we see what we've got, we've heard some reports from OTAs, rookie camp, all those events that have been going on at the facility. Which Vikings rookie, Dave, do you think will have the biggest impact this season? I'll refresh your memory on the names. You got J.J. McCarthy, Dallas Turner, Kyrie Jackson, Walter Rouse, Will Reichard, the kicker, Michael Juergen, and Levi Drake Rodriguez.
I think it's Dallas Turner. I hope above hope that we don't even see J.J. McCarthy this year. I know that there's lots of people thinking that it's possible, but I just defensively, where he gets to fit in and what he can do. He's 6'3", 250. I mean, the guy's just a player, and he's quick off the ball. And I think he has the most potential right away to see time and make an impact more than anybody else. And in this defense, with the players that are there, with Brian Flores there, the amount of learning that this kid's going to do and how much better. His ceiling is so high. I think he is by far the best rookie this year.
I would say this. I think he is the best rookie. His talent is unbelievable. I admired watching him at Alabama. I thought the guy was absolutely incredible. But I'm going to go with one that I think is really close and might even be a bigger factor, could be Kyrie Jackson. I just love his height. We need a corner. We draft corners every single year, right? Somewhere very high in the draft usually. But we just haven't had anybody that is overly impressive. I think he's going to be overly impressive. He's coming from the Pac-12. They like to throw the ball out there, and this guy's got height. He's got that length that he can actually stretch out there. And against all these big receivers that are in the NFL these days, I think he's got the opportunity at 6'4" to be really pretty impressive for the Vikings.
Oh, come on, guys. I thought I was giving you an easy one here. I even said the kicker. Well, what's the most important position outside of the quarterback on an NFL team? Who's going to score the most points? It's going to be Will Reichard. It's going to be the kicker. And if he succeeds, this team will be a lot better.
He's inside.
Than if he doesn't.
He's in a dome.
I have a question for you, Pete, in terms of what's the harder position as a rookie to master, defensive back or linebacker or D-end?
Well, you know, the reality is that the secondary has far less they have to think about. Quite frankly, I mean, you know, so either they are dropping back, they're sitting in the flat, or they're man-to-man. That's it, right? I mean, that's what a cornerback does. So I would say as far as difficult, you know, Dallas Turner's got to learn a lot, but he's just such a special athlete that I think he could be really, really unbelievable. Now, Kyrie Jackson, I'm not kidding with you guys. At 6'4", you don't see guys that can run at his speed with that kind of size very often in the NFL. I think we stole him by getting him in the fourth round. I think it's going to be very special. I think at the end of the season, we're probably going to be going, wow, that kid should have been a first rounder.
Absolutely. There's a couple of undrafted free agents, too, that the Vikings picked up that are interesting. I think it was Murphy, was it, out of UCLA? It was one of the UCLA defensive ends. I'm forgetting the name off the top of my head. But, I mean, last season we saw who probably the most impressive rookie was, and that was undrafted free agent Ivan Pace. So could be none of the guys that I listed even. Pete, we're going to finish off with you. Gopher basketball players have reported to camp and started practice. A lot of new faces in Dinkytown as the NIL era took a hit on the 2023 Gopher squad. New key players include forward Frank Mitchell and guards Femi Odukale, Lucier Patterson, and Isaac Osama, the incoming freshman out of Cherry, Minnesota.
Nice job.
Thank you very much.
That is not easy.
No, it wasn't. Pete,
Isaac Asimov, the writer? Sorry.
Not exactly. Pete, I want to know if this team will have more success than last year's team, which I will remind you made the NIT and did win their first game of that tournament. Are they going to be more or less successful than last year's team?
You know, it is always so difficult because it's in basketball, there is that mesh that you've got to get, right? I mean, we certainly improved a lot. That was great. I was really happy for the coach because I think the world of the coach, but he's got to win more games. And last year he did. And so that was a nice major step. Can they do it again? You know, I think Big Ten basketball is going to be pretty brutal once again. The competitiveness of that our league is always impressive to me. So do we sit somewhere about where we are? Probably. I would say we're probably more like a 500 team. I don't see us going much higher than that in the Big Ten.
I think it's difficult. I think they lost some really good players. I think, but all the teams do, and they have to regroup. I have faith in Ben Johnson. He's restored it in me after what he did last year. I don't know if I guess it's a cop-out, but I don't know if I can say it yet. I don't know. I mean, there's just too many X factors here. Yeah. In what else is going on in the Big Ten to say what this team's going to do.
Yeah, Dave, you're absolutely right. That is a cop-out. But that's all I got for you, Dave.
I was like, wait a second. Charlie's telling me I'm right.
Absolutely correct. You absolutely copped out on that. Yeah, they got Parker Fox back. They've got some players back. They've got Mike Mitchell. They got Dawson Garcia, who's going to be the most important player on this team regardless. So there are pieces there. It'll just I understand why you copped out, but it's still cowardly.
All right, coming up next, we'll talk about pickleball with Charlie. No, I'm just kidding. We won't talk about pickleball with Charlie. We'll wrap up hour number one coming up next. It's never too early to talk a little Gopher football. They are – something's counting down. Do we have –
That's just the song.
Oh, my – oh, is it?
Yeah.
I thought we were about to explode.
No.
I'm like, is there something I don't know? I'll tell you what's about to explode, though, Pete, the Minnesota Golden Gopher football team. Thank you. There have been – they've gotten a lot of guys the last couple of weeks. Who is the one guy, when you look at it, of this recruiting class come in – that really excites you more than anybody else?
Well, you know, and some of them won't even be here for a while. I think if you're looking at for next year or whatever, I think Jackson Colick is a kid that a lot of people are talking about. But across the board, we have really done something, Dave, like I haven't seen the Gophers do in a really long time in terms of, I think, the where they are ranked and some of the kids of where they're coming from. We somehow have done an amazing job. And Charlie, you know it like I do. You're looking at these same things, but California. How well have we done down in Corona, California, and Covina, California? And how have we been able to recruit these guys to the University of Minnesota? I think it's phenomenal. I think you got to give credit to the coaching staff and everybody involved. It's the last 2 weeks, 21 commits for 2025. We're just looking at an amazing thing going on with the Golden Gophers. And I can't tell you how impressed I am. You know, June's been incredible. We've gotten a bunch of recruits. I think 11 more, Charlie, have signed up. So whether it's Legend Lions or Daniel Shipp or Shane Marshall, running back out of Georgia, it's really shocking how well we've done so far.
Yeah, there's been a lot of really great players.
Charlie.
Yeah, no, there have been a lot of really great players that came in over the last couple of weeks. I was just going to concur.
I'm excited, obviously, about the quarterback battle, but that's an easy one. I'm really excited, just because he's a local kid, to see how Jackson Howard does. Came from LSU, transferred back here. He's a DN, 6'4", 241. He had a lot of options to transfer, including Cal, Indiana, Kansas, Michigan State, Purdue, Washington. So I don't think he played much, if at all, Pete, down at LSU. But anybody who's good enough to be recruited to LSU, I'm really excited to see what he brings.
And I've got some friends on the staff at LSU, and I can tell you this. They did not want to lose him. They point blank. Yeah. I said, God, how did we get this kid from your school? Why did he transfer? They said they couldn't quite figure it all out, but he said, congrats. Cause he said, this guy is really a baller. This kid can play. So between that and then you throw in a quarterback like Jackson Colick, I'm really impressed with a lot of the things we're doing in recruiting. Just amazing.
Especially when you consider the NIL, which we will talk about coming up next. It's going crazy. We'll see you on the other side of the break. Charlie. No, I'm just kidding. We won't talk about pickleball, Charlie. We'll wrap up hour number one coming up next. It's never too early to talk a little Gopher football. They are... Something's counting down. Do we have...
That's just the song.
Oh my! Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I thought we were about to explode. No. I'm like, is there something I don't know? I'll tell you what's about to explode, though, Pete. The Minnesota Golden Gopher football team. Thank you. They've gotten a lot of guys the last couple of weeks. Who is the one guy, when you look at it, of this recruiting class come in that really excites you more than anybody else?
Well, you know, and some of them won't even be here for a while. I think if you're looking at for next year or whatever, I think Jackson Colick is a kid that a lot of people are talking about. But across the board, we have really done something, Dave, like I haven't seen the Gophers do in a really long time in terms of, I think, the where they are ranked and some of the kids of where they're coming from. We somehow have done an amazing job. And Charlie, you know it like I do. You're looking at these same things, but California. How well have we done down in Corona, California, and Covina, California? And how have we been able to recruit these guys to the University of Minnesota? I think it's phenomenal. I think you got to give credit to the coaching staff and everybody involved. It's the last 2 weeks, 21 commits for 2025. We're just looking at an amazing thing going on with the Golden Gophers. And I can't tell you how impressed I am. You know, June's been incredible. We've gotten a bunch of recruits. I think 11 more, Charlie, have signed up. So whether it's Legend Lions or Daniel Shipp or Shane Marshall, running back out of Georgia, it's really shocking how well we've done so far.
Yeah, there's been a lot of really great players. Charlie. Yeah, no, there have been a lot of really great players that came in over the last couple of weeks. I was just going to concur.
I'm excited, obviously, about the quarterback battle, but that's an easy one. I'm really excited, just because he's a local kid, to see how Jackson Howard does. Came from LSU, transferred back here. He's a DN, 6'4", 241. He had a lot of options to transfer, including Cal, Indiana, Kansas, Michigan State, Purdue, Washington. So I don't think he played much, if at all, Pete, down at LSU. But anybody who's good enough to be recruited to LSU, I'm really excited to see what he brings.
And I've got some friends on the staff at LSU, and I can tell you this, they did not want to lose him. They point blank, I said, God, how did we get this kid from your school? Why did he transfer? They said they couldn't quite figure it all out, but he said, congrats, because he said, this guy is really a baller. This kid can play. So between that and then you throw in a quarterback like Jackson Colick, I'm really impressed with a lot of the things we're doing in recruiting. Just amazing.
Especially when you consider the NIL, which we will talk about coming up next. It's going crazy. We'll see you on the other side of the break.